I'm Michael Langrish. I'm Bishop of Exeter in the Church of England, and I'm here representing Rouen, the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Tell us, first of all, your own connections to the Middle East. It's a region you know very well, isn't it?
I always say that my connections began before I was born. My father was a professional soldier, and he was stationed in the Holy Land in the 1930s with the Mandate Forces in Palestine. And I grew up with his stories of that period, which I think, you know, had a very strong impact on me, of the way in which the Mandate Forces were dealing with both the emergent Jewish nationalism and terrorism on both sides. And I suppose from an early age it took me into wanting to know more about the region. I didn't actually visit for the first time until about 30 years ago, but since then I've probably been about once a year for one reason or another.
It's an interesting perspective because, as you say, so many of today's problems date right back to that period, don't they?
I have absolutely no doubt at all that Western interventions by both church and state for the last 100 years have done a great deal to shape and continues to shape the Middle East today. And I think one of the things that concerns me is how very difficult it is to get a clear realisation about this, certainly in the UK, but I think more generally in the West, and to get some mature conversation about our responsibilities in the light of that history.
Do you see that as part of the responsibility of the church leaders to be able to advocate with governments to really put this issue at the top of the agenda?
I think it's actually hugely important. I mean, there have been times that when we have tried to do so. For example, during the Second Iraq War, the bishops, both the Catholic bishops and the Church of England bishops, were, I think, at the forefront of questioning not only the morality of the war, and I remain convinced that it did not satisfy any just war criteria, but also the ongoing impact. And one of the impacts we've seen, and there's been a huge, huge impact of both the First and the Second Iraq Wars on the Christian community in Iraq. That is still not sufficiently acknowledged, and the consequences being dealt with.
From what I've been hearing here, particularly also from the Muslim and Jewish representatives, the problems facing the Christians in some sense are problems facing all people in that region today.
That's true in some senses. Although there are commonalities across the region, it is also clear that the position of Christians and indeed of different Muslim groups is very different from state to state, nation to nation. So whilst, yes, there are certain places where the circumstances in which they live are shared, in other circumstances, no. Of course, one of the questions I found myself asking when I came back from my very first visit to the Middle East, as I say, over 30 years ago, was who are the minority and who are the majority? It's a question that's almost impossible to ask, because in almost every situation, almost every community can, with a certain justification, see themselves as a part of an oppressed minority, but also as belonging to what by minorities is seen as a larger and powerful majority. And that's part of the complexity of the Middle East.
There's very much this complex question, the psychological identity with a victim in the region, isn't there?
I think very much so, and certainly in our small group earlier this week, one of the interesting topics onto which we got quite quickly were the conditions that make for what we were talking about is the psychology of peace. You can only go so far with political initiatives, but unless you're working with the socio-cultural heritage that forms the psychology of individuals and communities, and begin to address the deep fears, as well as the aspirations, that shape that psychology, you won't get very far. But one of the things that brings me to Rome most frequently is a connection with the community of Sant'Egidio. There's much about that community that draws me strongly, but not least, they have a very real grasp of this psychological dimension of peacemaking, and we've seen it from Africa right the way through to the Middle East, the way in which they have tried to draw people together in attentive listening to one another, so that they began to hear what is being said behind the overt words that reflect, as I say, this deep psychology. I suppose one of the things that really encourages me about this synod is that hopefully it will encourage the same kind of attentive listening to one another among the various people who are gathered here.
Your presence here underlines the need for greater ecumenical cooperation, and yet the synod has been discussing the difficulties of cooperation even amongst the Catholic rites in the region. It's a bit unrealistic, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, certainly from our own point of view, one of the things that I think is tragic is that in our own ecumenical dialogue between Anglicans and Roman Catholics, the Roman Catholic side has been represented almost entirely by Western Latin Catholics, and there's been very, very little engagement on the part of the Eastern Catholics. We definitely, desperately need that input, even at a time when our dialogue is perhaps a little fragile, but it needs to go alongside the robust dialogue that we have with the Orthodox. But here within this synod, I have found it heartening that certain themes are coming up over and over again. One is the need for really strong formation of the laity and a much more serious commitment of resources to that. But then the second is the need to address the fractured nature of the church in the Middle East, which constantly compromises and undermines its witness. In fact, it is a scandal to the twin themes of this synod, which are how to live as communion and as united witness. And it's been good to hear both from fraternal delegates but also from within the Eastern churches themselves a call for ways of finding ways for a far greater unity. Now, of course, words are easy. Action are more difficult, and all that we've just been saying about the psychology of peacemaking is to be found there. There is a psychology of ecumenical dialogue, there's a psychology of internal communion dialogue as well.
You've obviously got a lot of ideas that you'll be taking back home with you from this synod. What, in a nutshell, is your message to the synod fathers here?
Gosh, it would be difficult to boil it down to a single message. If I were allowed, say, three, one would be as part of that formation of laity and clergy. I think there is a need for a deep re-engagement with Scripture as the Word of God. As I travel around the Middle East, and particularly in the Holy Land, but not just in the Holy Land, I detect a deep disengagement, particularly from parts of the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, where there's a feeling that narratives have been used to justify an oppressive ideology. Now, unless there is actually a deep re-engagement with the whole of Scripture as the living Word of God, I think Christians will not be equipped to play their part in the dialogue of which we've been talking. I think there is, secondly, this desperate issue of finding ways in which Christians can live in greater unity, overcoming what is at worst a living in a kind of separate ghettos, but at worst, take in Jerusalem, where they often seem to be in a state of hostility to one another. And I think the third is this, the importance of us in the West continuing to act as advocates for the Christian communities and the Christian story. And one of the things I hear Christians in the Middle East saying to me constantly is, Bishop, don't present us our story as the story of people who are a problem. We are not a problem. We have a long and honourable tradition of presence in this land, and our presence is important not only for the church here, for the church worldwide. And that is absolutely the case. And the decline in the number of Christians would be disastrous for the world church, losing touch with that very essence of incarnation, which is at the heart of our faith, and also that centuries-long engagement with the world of Islam, which we in the West are only just falteringly finding our way forwards to. So certainly as I go back to the UK, I will be wanting to talk to my own Archbishop about what we can do in terms of further advocacy, visits, exchange, so that we continually raise the profile of that important narrative.
Finally, you've just met with Pope Benedict, haven't you? Can you
Yes.
tell us anything about his message to you?
Well, of course, it's actually the third time within a month, actually, that I've had the privilege of meeting him. And on the first occasion, we just touched on his memorable visit to the UK. I mean, I think he is a remarkable person. He holds within himself the kind of attentive listening that I was talking about. And certainly, you saw it particularly in Westminster Hall in London, his ability to listen to the nuances of British society and then speak to them from within the depth of the Christian tradition was very, very evident. He and the Archbishop had a good personal conversation about the needs of the Middle East. We've just touched on that now. I'm full of hope that Lambeth and the Vatican together might work towards a new and rather different initiative to see ways in which we can, as I say, engage in this raising of the profile, but particularly from within the historic responsibilities of a country like the UK.
Are you talking about setting up a special body to do just that?
Well, I think it might begin with actually not a large conference, which generally tends to produce reports of words, but actually a smaller body, comprising largely of those from within the region to talk about programmes of action. For myself, one of the really important things is continual engagement, breaking down the barriers of ignorance which so afflict the Western Church and actually lead to deeply ill-informed actions on the part of certain sects, denominations and strands within contemporary Christian theology.